Good day, everyone. This is David Washington, and we are having our first podcast, the Mule's Kick, of this election cycle 2018. With me today is Clark Anderson.
Hello, Clark.
Hey, David.
All right, Clark is here as a candidate for House District 30, Democrat. And Clark, tell us about your district.
Well, my district is composed of part of the southern part of Seminole County and the northern part of Orange County. Mm-hmm. It encompasses the areas such as Maitland, Castleberry, Altamont Springs, Eatonville, and it's sort of a district where a lot of the towns are kind of cut off around the edges, but it's a great smaller district to work in, a lot of people in a small area.
Great. Tell us, what are you passionate about? What led you to run for office?
Well, I had a career in technology. Mm-hmm. I was cybersecurity particularly, but I started off in the field of electronics manufacturing. I built a manufacturing firm, but later did a lot of business both in Florida and overseas, mm-hmm. with the federal government, with the state government, and with the military. I felt that I had, met those goals. I had a full career, and I felt like I wanted to give back to the community. I decided that this was an important time, there were important issues out there, and that I could use some of my expertise in business and some of the knowledge I gained from really growing up in a political family. Yes. With a mother who was a fairly famous politician. It's how I spent my youth, driving her to meetings and things, so I know how that works. I felt that this was, as I said, an important time to see some real change in Florida. Florida needs important changes, and the community itself has been suffering.
You talk about your experience as a businessman, cybersecurity. Tell us about the points that are important to you and your constituents that you like to bring to the forefront in this election, based upon what you can learn from your own experience.
Well, David, I think that some of the things that I've learned from my experience is that good jobs really help an economy. Mm-hmm. And Florida's model for creating good jobs is really something based out of the 80s.
Sure.
And it's failed time and again. But Florida has been able to attract a number of employers. The average wage of a worker in Florida is below $15 an hour. And
yes.
And they're doing that because they're doing things wrong. They're not investing in education. They're not investing in health care. They're not investing in low-income housing. They're not investing in the schools. And these are the things that an employer, a high-tech employer, looks for.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see a community being starved of resources for really outmoded ideas of taxation and things like that, it tends to drive that kind of business away, and we're left with businesses that come in, pretty much take whatever tax breaks they can get.
Sure.
They hire low-income workers that we as taxpayers are forced to subsidize.
Okay.
And then move on as soon as the goodies are gone.
Okay. Excellent. There are other issues that are facing your constituents. What are they?
Well, there's huge issues. First and foremost, that I have found in talking to the people in the district, mm-hmm. they're very worried about gun control.
Sure.
They're worried about the effect of the Parkland shooting and the Pulse nightclub. They worry about their children's safety.
Okay.
They really feel like they're living in a combat zone. I've lived in those zones, and I don't think Florida ought to become one.
Okay.
I have also heard a lot of talk about education, as we briefly
sure.
mentioned here. The education system in Florida has been an experimental ground for the charter schools. I like experiments. I like new ideas. But the charter schools themselves have not proven to be any better than the public schools that a billion dollars a year is being drained away to to support.
That's true.
The public schools have, under tough circumstances, they can't choose their student populations. They can't choose a lot of things that charter schools can cherry pick and get. And the outcomes just haven't changed. The public schools have been punching above their own weight, and they need to, public funds need to go to public schools.
Okay. What else, what other issues are important to your constituents and yourself?
Well, one of the big things that I see out there is people are worried about sprawl. Mm-hmm. In my district, it's being heavily developed. They have a lot of construction ongoing. What I think upsets people is not the fact that developers are letting more people move in. People love to come to Florida.
Sure.
But the development themselves are being built without any thought to the environmental areas that they're being built in. They're not being given thought to the types of offsets that need to happen, the types of mitigation that needs to happen when you put in a development. You know, I mean, something as simple as if the road's going to be need to be widened, do that before the development, not afterwards.
Sure.
I think everybody crawls through twice as many stoplights as they did a few years ago. You know, that Florida way of life is sort of slipping away.
Exactly. I understand also that perhaps developers are not paying what they should be paying in impact fees.
That's exactly right. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. And that starves the local school districts. That impedes the ability to have parks, recreation. You know, we mentioned the roads, but it goes on and on. Fire protection, all these things all depend on monies that are coming in to, one, from developers, and two, from industry coming in the area. And those have been consistently shortchanged, both by local governments who would, you know, haven't done the right amount of investigation, and certainly at the state level, a lot of regulations, they just look the other way.
Okay. In your district, who is the current incumbent or current representative of your district, and how do your views differ from his or her policy?
Sure. Bob Cortez has been the representative for two terms in the district. He is a conservative Republican. He has consistently backed development. He's backed industry coming in the area. He's mm-hmm. and all of these things, which are good goals, but has shortchanged the people in the district. He's really brought nothing to the district to improve the quality of life of people in the district.
Okay.
And I think that my policies are different than his.
Okay. There's talk of this blue wave.
Mm-hmm.
How will the blue wave be successful in your campaign in your district that you're running for?
Well, the blue wave, very simply, is at this point talk. It's certainly shown up in other races, other areas. Florida's a tough state to predict how much of a voter turnout there'll be.
Okay.
At the end of the day, the Republicans are putting a lot of money into holding this district because it was a wave district before. It was a Republican red wave district.
Okay.
And an incumbent Democrat was put out of office. So there is a good chance that voters will turn out this time on the Democratic side, that it will return to a Democratic control. But it's certainly up to the voters. At the end of the day, those who disagree with the policies of Republicans need to show up.
Right.
I would never count on saying it's anything's in the bag, anything's a win. If anything, it's going to be a tough, tough fight.
Voter persuasion, getting voters to actually want to care about the election and come out, especially during the primary. I understand there are two other candidates who are running in the Democratic primary. Mm-hmm. When voters talk to you, what are they telling you? What are they saying about you as a candidate that they support?
I think that they like the idea that I'm bringing experience to the job, that I'm not just someone who's in business trying to bring their business, you know, to the legislature. It's unfortunate that we have really a part-time legislature, and people do bring their businesses to Tallahassee.
Sure.
I'm not another attorney trying to, you know, get business for their clients. I'm a full-time candidate. I think that's one of the things people appreciate, that I'm going to represent one special interest, you know, the people in the district.
Are there special constituencies demographics that you feel are underrepresented or not part of the process as much as they should be that you like to encourage to come out and vote in this primary?
I think there are some constituencies that I and my advisors have looked at. Certainly first, I think two of the most powerful constituencies that will determine whether this election is a victory or not are going to be the women who maybe haven't been passionate Democrats, but they've been turned off by a lot of the Republican messages at the state level and some at the national level.
Sure.
And the other group is going to be students and young millennials who have recently become very, very energized with things like the terrible shootings at Parkland and that sort okay. of thing. If these two groups turn out, it will move the needle quite a bit. A third group is a lot of my district are traditional black districts. They mm-hmm. are yes. Eatonville is the oldest black city, you know, in the nation.
That's great.
And so they have traditionally been Democratic voters, but I think that I've heard that they also feel that they've been marginalized in okay. the past by politicians who make, you know, grand gestures but don't actually return and work for them.
Excellent. Great. Why, as a constituent of yours, should I vote for Clark Anderson?
Well, I think you want to look at the record that I have. While I haven't been a politician, as yes. I mentioned, I come from a political family, but I've had a consistent record of being able to get big ideas presented and accepted by organizations nationwide and some internationally, working in coalitions, and I've been able to get and accomplish big things. Mm-hmm. And I bring that 35 years of skill to the race. I think that that's really one of my strongest points, is that I have the experience and knowledge in working with government to understand and move ideas.
Yes. I understand that Florida is hoping to be the Silicon Valley of the East, and there are more and more businesses and government contracts here in this part of Central Florida that is dealing with cybersecurity mm-hmm. And things like that. Is there a market for cybersecurity or internet cloud-based jobs, and do we have the constituency, the job force to fill those positions?
We have a great constituency for that. A lot of the voters in this area were involved previously in the Space Coast.
Sure.
A lot of those jobs, people live right here that work there. And with the newer private space launches coming in, it's becoming a major part of, it's becoming a major economy.
SpaceX, yes.
And mm-hmm. exactly like SpaceX and other companies are moving their launches here. So on that area alone, the workers in this district and the people in this district could benefit greatly from the spill-off of other jobs, other high-technology jobs. Orlando itself has been a high-technology center.
Sure.
It previously was a center of film and video. I would like to see that come back.
Excellent, good.
And in general, this could develop into a great sector for jobs. And as you mentioned, if you're dealing with technology, you're dealing with jobs of the future.
Yes.
You're dealing with employers that are looking for quality talent. And they want to have highly educated, motivated workforce. They don't, and those jobs, of course, create other peripheral jobs.
Yes.
There's always a secondary market, and it just, you know, you look at the experiences of places that have these technologies, like Massachusetts or California. Their economies are booming.
Yes.
But those states invest. They invest in the lives of the people that live in the state.
And we have a good educational system as far as higher education. We have University of Central Florida, Valencia College, Seminole State College, and a lot of higher levels of education centers that can feed into this mm-hmm. job market of the future. So the landscape is there. And
yep.
Hopefully with these technology jobs will come higher paying salaries and focus on careers. Something a little lighthearted, you were talking about your history, your past in Illinois. Your mother was in politics. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I was a kid in high school who had to drive her to all these political meetings, and I remember at the time it wasn't the most exciting thing part of my life, but getting into this race and all of a sudden seeing some of the things that she experienced, I have a great new appreciation for my mother. It's been fun. I mean, I'm enjoying doing this. I know it's important, and it's a time that's very important. But I've been enjoying meeting people and having a job for once that I'm not, you know, down in the weeds in technology somewhere trying to get, you know, I've put up technology systems in some crazy places, and this beats some of the areas.
To wrap things up, Cubs or Sox?
I'm afraid I'm a Cubs guy.
Oh! Well, Clark, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Hey, David. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is David Washington of The Mule's Kick. I'd like to thank Connor Nelson, our producer, and Jerry Eller. Thank you.